One of the reasons I think that the VOA reporters, the Somali service, has been targeted in particular is because they've been doing an excellent job, frankly. They've been quite critical, both of the government and the opposition parties. And furthermore, they've focused on very sensitive stories. I mean, there's been a number of political assassinations of high-ranking officials in Puntland last year, and one can suspect they didn't like that sort of press.
Mohamed Yasim Isaac was held for 17 days when Puntland laws require that charges be filed within 48 hours. What kind of influence was applied to win Isaac's release after 17 days?
Well, I believe VOA reacted to their stringer's detention. I would also say that I heard that Mr. Patterson, who's a U.S. consular, the Somali consular, also voiced his concerns with the president. And without patting myself on the back too much, I think the Committee to Protect Journalists also worked to push for his release.
Back in August, Isaac was told to stop his work for The Voice of America after reporting that the son of a former governor was involved in a killing. Did he stop working for VOA for some period of time?
I don't believe he did. I think he may have slowed down for a few days after that warning. But the impression I get from talking to him and other reporters in the area is that Mohamed Yasin is a fairly brave and professional reporter, and he simply just didn't take the threats.
Well, back in October, 2 months after that, Puntland stations were ordered to retaliate even further. FM stations were ordered not to carry any VOA reports for 1 week. Did the ban end?
That's right. It ended actually in a week after some negotiations. I mean, when they actually originally announced the ban, it was an indefinite ban, which could have been, you know, fairly catastrophic for the region because a lot of people in Puntland rely on VOA and, you know, the other radio stations and the news that comes out from it.
And two other journalists who reported for The Voice of America were also ordered to stop working in the region. Has this happened?
Well, they were ordered for that week, and I believe they have, since after that week, they've continued their work.
Now, do you have evidence of an overall pattern of harassment against local reporters in Somalia's Puntland region that extends beyond Voice of America?
Certainly. I mean, although it appears as if VOA is the main target of this sort of crackdown, at CPJ we often get complaints from local journalists in the field in Puntland, whether they're in Garowe, Galkayo, or Bosaso, talking about sort of verbal threats or threats sent by text message, etc. And of course, we shouldn't also forget that other journalists have been shot at, just like Mohamed was. We have a case of Hassan Jama from Radio Galkayo. He's a director, and he was actually shot by what's believed to be a police official at the airport.
What are the current conditions of both Mohamed Isaac and Galkayo director Hassan Jama, who were shot at?
They're both okay, luckily. I mean, both cases are very near misses. I should hasten to add, when they shot at Mohamed Yasin's car, I mean, one of the bullets, I believe, went through the left side of his rib cage, near his left arm. And in the case of Jama, I mean, he said that two bullets actually went through his trouser leg. So it was clearly an intent to kill them, but they both managed to survive. And now that we've had Yasin released, they're both relatively okay, but obviously shook up.
Now, the police commander in the area, Colonel Musa Ahmed Musa Hassasi, is also a subject of Committee to Protect Journalists allegations. He has told reporters that other officers did fire at the journalists' cars, but also hours before the shootings, local journalists said that Hassasi himself had attended meetings of local reporters and threatened them with unspecified harm. What else have you found out about that incident?
That's about it. The whole chain of events around November really is indicative of the kind of impunity towards these perpetrators who threaten journalists. Just to give you some background, I mean, there was a meeting on November 16th whereby several journalists were barred entry and others were actually beaten up using the butts of AK-47 rifles who were actually invited to the meeting and not allowed in by the police. That's the backdrop. And then the local press, they all gathered together to discuss the incident and to try and organize some kind of protest. It was during this meeting that the Colonel Musa Hassasi actually showed up and threatened Mohamed Yasin.
It's a difficult situation.
It really is, yes.
Now, you have been in touch with Puntland's president. Has he responded to your charges, or is there any evidence that the Puntland government is looking into the shooting and the harassment allegations?
Not as of yet. There has been some claims that they're looking into the shooting of Director Hassan Jama. Whether this is true or not is another matter, and since no one has been apprehended.
What kind of reporting is Radio Galkayo conducting at this point? Is it considered to be a very strong journalistic source for news about the Puntland region?
Yeah, Yeah, I believe so. Obviously, it has a state influence, but I think it's considered a fairly professional radio outlet.
And they are able to carry on their work despite the recent allegations of harassment.
That's right. I believe JAMA is actually working right now.
Tell us a little bit about the importance of Puntland in the northern region of Somalia to the current situation in Somalia as a whole and the heightened security around Yemen and the whole Arabian Peninsula.
It has a lot of impact both internationally and locally. I mean, in the sense that, you know, because of the intense civil war that's going on in greater Somalia, especially in the capital, Mogadishu, between insurgents and government soldiers. Many people, including journalists, have fled up into either Puntland or even further north into Somaliland, which are two semi-autonomous regions of Somalia. But Puntland also is quite influential in the sense that it's also the heartland of the Somali pirates because it has a large coastal area. And indeed, of course, it shares coastal waters with Yemen in the Red Sea. So Puntland has a lot of strategic influence and interest for the United States in particular.
Even this week, U.S. warships have been patrolling the region between northern Somalia and Yemen, and they've come under some sort of interference there, and the piracy situation is considered a factor there. Do you have any evidence that Puntland itself is playing a role in the shipping situation?
It's hard to tell. Some journalists and some reports that we receive from the region claim that the president is a stalwart fighter against the pirates, and he's been trying to rally the local population to also oppose their activities. But then there are others, of course, who say that there's actually quite a biased role in the pirate trade, in the sense that the only pirates that are arrested are those in Bosaso, which is one of the port cities, the largest city in Puntland. But other pirates, for example, in, say, Galkayo or Garowe, are left alone simply because they share the same clan as the president. Of course, these are both allegations from one side. It is very difficult to determine.
Would you say that the issues of such great sensitivity to the Puntland government and to police authorities there have to do more with the international geopolitical situation there, or are they strictly of a local nature?
I think they're both, really. Both play a factor.